Well, it's the greatest show in town right now. Globe Theater celebrating their 60th anniversary season. On the Rawlinson main stage this week is the newest offering, The Master Plan. It's directed by my next guest, Jennifer Bruin, who's here to entice you to return to the Globe. Jen, thanks for being here again.
Oh, thanks for having me.
In the show description, it says it's a satire that transforms civic bungling and corporate ambition into a cautionary tale of our times. I have one question. Is this based on our present mayor and city councilors, Jennifer?
Not at all.
Okay, all right. I was just checking, but really, what's it about then?
It's based on the book Sideways by Globe and Mail reporter Josh O'Kane. It's the story of Google's big, bold, and wildly controversial bid to create a smart city on Toronto's waterfront. Google's dream and the people at Waterfront Toronto came together because they all had this dream to make cities more livable and more exciting and more efficient and taking out the middleman of city hall and bureaucracy. So it had all these fancy, fun, futuristic plans that would make things easier. It created a colossal anxiety amongst the people of Toronto, and eventually the project shut down.
Well, it's an incredible story, and the cast that is involved here, some of the faces we've seen previously. It is a comedy, so I know we got a top-notch cast for this.
Oh my goodness, the actors in the city are so based in improv and comedy that I thought this is a great play for them, because they're also, you know, really smart. So Jaden Pfeiffer, Judy Wenzel, Jennifer Fong, who was in Peter Pan last year, Bongani Musa, are hilarious. And then we've got Alex Posh Golden from Winnipeg, who has been in television shows, and he and Lisa Bayless, towering veterans of Canadian theater. Such an ensemble company. And Greg Ochoa, oh my goodness, Greg plays the main character, Dan Doctoroff, with just this searing wit and intensity.
Okay, you've got me. It sounds like a great production so far. Globe Theater's artistic director, Jennifer Bruin, with me. How important, though, is the lighting and set design in this production, Jennifer?
Well, it's like another character in the play, because the play is about technology and high tech and how to make cities more efficient through technology. So we've incorporated that into the production. So I think Globe Theater goers are going to see the stage lit up and come to life in very new ways.
Does the look of the show benefit from our new theater remodel?
Oh my goodness, it's so cool. A lot about this play really is, I wouldn't say it's autobiographical about building the new Globe and the renovated Globe, but we certainly recognize the challenge of a bunch of different people coming together to build something really important. So the Globe just looked beautiful with all this technology attached to it. And yeah, it's looking really good.
All right. This show, The Master Plan, runs till October 19th. Then we get a bit of a reset before Christmas Carol begins in late November. And I was curious, was a Christmas Carol chosen for Globe's 60th anniversary for any particular reason?
I've loved this adaptation for a long time. It's just got this really cool approach to it that is, it's still the traditional story 100%. It's just not so sentimental. It's funny and it's charming and it's human and it shows off the Christmas spirit and the redemptive power of Christmas and family and community, but also contemporary at the same time.
Jennifer Bruin, my guest. So bringing it back to The Master, who's your audience on this one, The Master Plan?
The Master Plan is a workplace comedy. Anybody who is dedicated to their work, who loves public life, believes in public life, in city planning, you don't even have to love it. I chose Master Plan because I thought the people of Regina really know what mega projects are like and mega projects going awry. But it's also because downtown is in such flux now, and there's so many smart people getting together trying to figure out how to make downtown dynamic and vital. And this play shows off people really dedicated, trying really hard to figure out a way to solve some very big contemporary issues. And of course, coming together with different perspectives and different motivations can create great comedy.
Now and the future, Globe Theater is such an important piece of the fabric of our downtown community. So it's kind of cool that you've integrated this first production, The Master Plan, in that way. And I really respect everything you do, Jennifer, and the cast and crew. It sounds amazing. So let's pack the joint up in the coming days.
Yeah, everyone's going to have a good time on it, because even if you don't like Toronto, you can have a good time laughing at Toronto, too.
Don't we love that? Yeah. Go Blue Jays, though. Go Blue Jays.
Let's go Blue Jays.
All right, Jennifer. Thanks for your time. Have a great day.
Thanks, Greg.
Look at that minimum wage soaring up in Saskatchewan on the start of a brand new month, October the 1st. Kevin Martell joining me now.
35 cents more an hour.
$15.35. We're not the lowest. Alberta still is, right?
Yeah, cool. 15 even there.
My youngest just started a new part-time job as she goes to high school.
Oh.
And loving checking to see how the bank account is growing the few hours she's worked. And I'm sure she'll be even more stoked to hear that minimum wage just went up now, as a matter of fact, too. But if you're under 18 in Alberta, you only make $13 there.
Hmm.
And that's been like that for a number of years. So, but I don't know, like, if you had to live off of $15.35 an hour, it'd be pretty tough to pay the rent.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's tough to pay the rent for a lot of salaried employees. You know, the housing costs, I mean, it's better in Saskatchewan than it is, say, in Ontario or BC, but still not easy.
Yesterday, several weather records to report on.
11 at the very end of September. September 30th, and here we are, and many of those communities hitting around the 30-degree mark, some 29, some 31, many of them pretty well 30 on the nose. Regina, of course, got to 30 yesterday. Not a record, Greg. We were a couple degrees shy of that.
And might I add, I fell 2 degrees short of my forecasted high of 32, but I'm still
close.
Within three, so nobody won the guaranteed weather jackpot there. Update on that coming up next hour. But as hot as it was, I didn't really get too much time to enjoy it outdoors because, as you can tell, I'm wrestling with whatever this is in my throat and I don't feel the greatest. But I expected you, Kevin, healthy and fit, to be outside enjoying it. But no, you were indoors.
I was watching baseball, a very classic summer activity. Just inside in the air conditioning.
Could you smell the hot dogs in the frying pan at least inside with your cold beer?
I should have had that. I should have just created that ballpark experience in my living room.
But, well, you're excited. I love this. You are like I am when the Oilers are in the playoffs. And you're waiting for your Mariners. They're in standby mode right now. But who are you hoping the Jays meet here, the Yankees or the Red Sox?
I kind of want the Red Sox to win, even before their win yesterday. And, of course, they're up 1-0, and they can close it out today with another win. But, yeah, I mean, Yankees, it's just, you know, you love to hate them. You're either a fan of them, you love the team, they've been your team for years, or you absolutely hate them. I find there are no neutral views on the Yankees, it seems.
Okay, well, it could be all over today, right, if Boston wins again?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, as of this morning, the U.S. is shut down. They couldn't come to a congressional agreement last night on funding, I guess. So both parties pointing the finger at one another. So what does this mean to Canada?
Yeah, and we're still trying to figure that out. But what it could mean, and this is based on the last time the U.S. government shut down 7 years ago, and that lasted for more than a month, 35 days. But it could mean things like if you're traveling to the United States at border crossings, at airports. Remember, the workers, I mean, we're talking like something like 750,000 federal workers across the U.S., and part of that includes border staff. And so that means that there might be delays. It might be take you a little bit longer to get across to the U.S. It might mean, for example, national parks in the U.S. Maybe you're planning on driving down and going to a national park. It could mean closures there. So just a couple of the early things that it might impact us. I think it's important to note as well, tariffs will still be collected. There is no difference on that.
And of course, Trump and that latest proclamation adding more to the software lumber industry. So soft lumber industry. So it's only getting worse. And we still don't really have any deal planning meetings coming up here by the looks of it either. So we're in standby mode. Hey, really quick, Kevin, brand new month. It's October the 1st. What do you look most forward to, Halloween or Thanksgiving this month?
100%. Not that I don't like turkey, Greg, or pumpkin pie, but it's got to be Halloween. I was thinking about that this morning on the drive-in. Saw a couple jack-o'-lanterns in one business, and I thought, yes, here we go. Let's just do it. Well, Halloween, October 1st, let's get at
you're
it.
You're probably the guy that has that giant Home Depot skeleton that you keep up year-round and decorate with
not
Hawaiian
yet.
Lay in the summer. And
not
then,
quite yet, Greg, but
you'll get there. You'll get there.
Exactly.
657. Greg Morgan here at 7:14. Time to check in with CJME Ryder reporter Britton Gray from the practice field as they got back to work in preparation for your Friday night's game against the Red Blacks. Good morning, Britton. Welcome back.
Good morning.
I hear there were a few vets missing yesterday, but Coach May said it was kind of like a vet day. Is that the case?
Yeah, that's the case of Marcus Sales. He was out there for kind of before stretch, but after stretch, he wasn't participating, so he's very limited. And then Brett Lauther is an interesting one. On the injury report with a back injury, so didn't participate. So that will be one to monitor if indeed Campbell Fair gets a chance this weekend because Brett's dealing with an injury. So something to do there. And obviously no Tavon Campbell quite yet. But good news as well, Kean Schaefer-Baker, he's looking really good out there. He's looking like he's ready to return to the lineup this week. And so that's a boost to the offense.
Yeah, well, there was a move at safety. Tell everyone about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Kosi Onyeka was released by the team. Of course, he started the past three games for the Riders. Corey May said this team has a standard on and off the field, and it wasn't met. So interesting as that was the reason for the release of Onyeka. And then so CJ Revis moving back to safety, Antoine Brooks Jr. at the Sam linebacker spot. And now that's going to be interesting because they take out a Canadian starter. Well, where do you find it along the ratio? I think they're going to make use of that kind of a designated nationalized American rule where a certain player can only come on and play a certain amount of snaps as a Canadian. And it might be along that defensive line. Ollie Saw, the team's first-round draft pick, was out there with the starters along the defensive line. So maybe Micah Johnson only comes in for a certain amount and doesn't figure it out. But it's an interesting move to be made at this point in the season as the team still deals with those injuries to Jackson Ford and Nelson Lacombe and Tavon Campbell.
Britton Gray is with me. Green Zone callers seem to be hitting the panic button after the last two losses when I was listening after the game the other night. So, Britton, I don't think I'm ready to hit the panic button until they lose to Ottawa. And that can't happen on Friday, but maybe then the panic button should be spoken of. What about you? What do you feel?
Yeah, a loss to the Elks will really do that, won't it, Greg?
Yeah.
A little bit of panic, but not quite yet. Yeah, the Elks are battling. That's a different team than maybe what you've seen over the past few seasons here now that Cody Fajardo's there. But no panic yet, though, as you mentioned, if they do lose to Ottawa, a team that's looked terrible all season long, and the West Division gets even tighter, then that's when the panic button maybe gets... I don't know if you're hitting it quite yet because they still do have a little bit of breathing room, but you definitely need to know where the panic button is and maybe bring it out of the drawer and have it ready.
Okay, and how is Ottawa looking right now? They made a few trades recently, but how do you feel about Ottawa right now?
I mean, they're a team that just feels lost, right? They've only won four games. Yeah, they're still technically in the playoff race, but that's going to be done right away here. They trade away Lorenzo Mauldin, who's one of the best pass rushers in the league right now. It looks like a mess over there, so that's why the Riders should be able to handle business. Ottawa, there's not a whole lot of positivity going on there.
Okay, Britton Gray, thank you so much for the update. We'll check in tomorrow.
Not a problem.
It's 7:17. I think you probably noticed if you work downtown, drive to work is a little busier this morning. A lot of people had yesterday off. And SAS Power Phase 2 has begun in downtown Regina, too, with the infrastructure upgrades downtown. So eastbound SAS Drive is a single lane. Westbound really not restricted at all. But they've got flag crews there in front of the Cornwall Center Parkade trying to move traffic a little faster. Not sure if it entirely feels that it's moving faster with them there on the drive home at the end of the day. But they're doing what they can and taking advantage of the weather. Well, he's as giddy as a little schoolgirl because five-time Stanley Cup champion Brian Trottier is going to be on his show today.
That's quite the description. Hey, by the way, it's seven-time Stanley Cup champ.
Really?
Yeah.
Seven times?
So he won four with the Islanders. He won two Pittsburgh. Yeah, and then one as a coach in Colorado. He was an assistant coach in Colorado.
What have you brought to get autographed?
Well, I've got a couple little ditties here. Yeah. A couple little cards and stuff.
But yeah, you've got his autograph already.
I have met him before for sure. But I mean, this is so cool. It's one-on-one. It's an in-studio interview with one of my childhood heroes, Brian Trottier. Like, this is like Messier. If you had Mark Messier coming into studio for an interview.
Right. It would be pretty exciting.
Yeah. Like you'd be pumped up. Well, that's how I feel this morning.
Well, I'm happy for you.
And I threw it out yesterday. I mentioned that I was doing this interview. I said, if you have any questions you would like to have asked, well, we got a lot of great questions on the text line. So I'm going to work in some listener questions while we have a chat with him as well.
Awesome. Now, I know part of your show, you're going to have some open lines and have a little conversation about this, but I want to take us just for a second to yesterday, where the military leader of the United States, Pete Hegseth, former Fox News host, spoke in a room full of admirals and generals. What were there? Something like over 800 of them there. And he said, okay, you guys, no more fatsoes.
I don't want my son serving alongside troops who are out of shape or in combat unit with females who can't meet the same combat arms physical standards as men.
I got to ask, when you became chief of police, did you walk in front of the troops and say, all right, no more fatsoes?
To which they said, hey, buddy, maybe you better start.
I wasn't going there.
No, listen, I mean, hey, that's why I ran the half marathon very slowly, I might add. Yeah. But in my second year as chief, just to, you know, this is a tough thing for him to say. I think about some of the greatest military leaders in U.S. history, Norman Schwarzkopf, for example. Yeah. You know, I'm not sure he's passing the highest military physical standards at the height of his career. But boy, I'll tell you, there's no one else you wanted in that leadership role. So,
and then you have Mr. Bonespurs there, never served. The president comes in and he said, maybe we should practice on American cities too.
I told Pete, we should use some of these dangerous cities as training grounds for our military.
Now, how many generals or admirals in that room might have raised their eyebrow to
shifting
that point?
Uncomfortably. Yeah, you know, it was so quiet in that room.
Well, almost annoyed, Trump, when they didn't applaud as he walked out.
He said, loosen up a little bit. And if you disagree with what I say, wouldn't he say something
walk out or
walk out, but you're going to lose your rank. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm all for the notion of you need to be promoted based on the merit of the job and your ability to do the job. So this is their swipe at DEI hires. But the problem is you can't just say that person in that high-ranking position, because they are African-American, are not qualified. You can't just say that. And that's what's coming out through a lot of the discussions that they're having.
So just to clarify, you are for the merit?
I'm for promoting people based on their merit. Right, I think that makes sense.
I just bring that up because, you know, when Gormley was leaving, I was kind of... And then you came along. No, I'm kidding.
Greg, you were one of my big references.
I don't want your job. No, seriously, though, you're also going to talk a little oil.
Yeah, we are. Brian Zinchuk is going to pop in, pipelineonline.ca. Brian is all about oil and gas. So there's actually a big announcement that just happened this week. A major company in Canada announcing 20% of their staff will be laid off in the next year and a half. They're talking about it being restructuring. You wonder, though, does it have anything to do with whether it's uncertainty in the Canadian trade market? Does it have anything to do with the move to different types of green energy? So Brian will be able to comment on that on the show as well.
Brian knows his stuff. He's always an interesting guest, but you don't seem nearly as excited to talk to him as your first guest.
Well, I mean, I got two Brians on the show. One was my childhood idol, and another is a smart guy when it comes to oil and gas. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean I don't like Brian Zinchuk. It's just, he's not Brian Trottier.
No, he's not. One of them you have his autograph.
I might have to get Zinchuk's autograph too, actually.
You're probably going to stand next to one Brian on the show today and get a picture too, and I can imagine which one it's going to be. Evan Bray is back here at 8:30. It's 7:27.